Ubla lotak, ublu lotak, avunga atega aziksik, kik tag miurunga, and sit na sok mute too. Good morning and good afternoon. My name is Sherry Anderson. My maiden names are Olana and Neakpuk. I am originally from Shishmaref, and I have been living here in Nome for 20 years. I am a mother of five. I have two children in grade school and one child in college. And my two older sons, one lives here in Nome and the other lives in Shishmaref with my parents. Today I'm going to read to you a really meaningful message I received from a good friend who had asked me to read this to honor and remember his spouse. And I want to thank him for allowing me to read this, because if I did not read this message, I don't know where I would have been in the life I live today. Finding the Path to Healing Overcoming Childhood Trauma by Mary Miller. Editor's note: the following article is based on Mary Miller's keynote address, November 7, 1995, at the Alaska Native Children of Alcoholics Conference in Nome. The address was adapted for publication by the author. For the benefit of folks who are guests or new to the Nome area, allow me to introduce myself. I am the daughter of Les and Martha Keller. My father was with us until 1986. He was originally from Pennsylvania. He is survived by eight brothers and sisters out of a family of 11. My mother, who lives in Nome, originates from the village of Shishmaref, north of here. She has three surviving sisters. I did not have the opportunity to know my grandparents, except for a brief visit with my parental grandmother after I graduated from high school. I have five brothers and sisters. I am married and have a son who is 18 and a daughter who is the age 9. Nome has been my home for all of my 41 years. I am the daughter-in-law of Hannah Miller and her late husband, Andrew Miller Sr. As far as I can determine, mine has been the third generation of Native people to experience the effects of alcohol abuse and alcoholism in our lives. I will briefly mention other factors that have impacted our well-being, especially since the turn of the century. It makes sense to me to refer them as losses or significant episodes of trauma. They include the loss of land, the loss of language, loss of control over many aspects of our lives, and a tremendous loss of lives. In some cases, whole generations of our people were wiped out by epidemics of disease. These events together with the impacts of alcoholism on a people who historically did not have alcohol in their communities can accurately be described as trauma. The effects of trauma. I understand the effect of traumas or people have suffered as an injury to the spirit. The impact of multiple episodes of trauma on our collective spiritual well-being has been staggering. When we are injured in spirit, we are vulnerable and susceptible to the disease of alcoholism. It hurts, mangles, shatters, and scars us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. All of you who are part of my generation were born into a time when alcoholism had become widespread in many of our families and communities. Today, I will share with you my personal journey through this devastation. I do honor and love my parents. I admire them as intelligent and gifted people. However, like many, many others, my family was caught up in a tidal wave of alcohol abuse. My parents did the best they could for us, but at the time, it wasn't enough. I bear them no animosity or resentment, but I do face the truth of what I have been through. Alcohol abuse creates unpredictability and fear in a family setting. As a very young child, I can remember worrying about what might happen when my parents came home, because along with the alcohol abuse, there was violence. I was pulled into these situations to protect my mom, because she knew my dad would not strike me. I had bad nightmares starting at a very early age. I remember when I was hungry and cold, and I could sense my mother's desperation as she tried to find ways to feed 6 hungry children and to keep them warm. When I was a young child, at times my mom and I used darkness as a veil to go through the neighborhood looking for scraps of wood to warm up the house. We struggled to survive as a family. These types of early experiences take away the natural innocence of a childhood. In its place, we tried desperately to stay alive. There were no support groups or programs for children. We were on our own. What were the results of these childhood experiences of trauma? In my heart, I developed feelings of shame, insecurity, confusion, abandonment, rejection, isolation, anger, and fear. Trauma causes a series of emotions to be generated and then blocks the release of those emotions. These hard emotions get pushed down deep inside and buried. There they remain frozen and covered by layer upon layer of scar tissue from childhood on as the years go by. When they are turned inward and stuffed deep down inside, these intense, hard emotions cause self-destructive behaviors. For example, anger turned inward becomes rage, and rage is self-destructive. It comes from being powerless when there is no opportunities to express anger in a safe environment. It stays in you. It becomes something worse than anger. It hurts you. Compulsive behaviors, some of which I developed into strong addictions, stem from all of this unresolved pain. I developed many compulsive behaviors, one of which, overeating, is obvious every time I look in the mirror. Overeating calms and relaxes me. Another way I responded to feeling inadequate was to overexcel in school. I did very well academically, but on the inside, I was in turmoil, filled with heartache and despair. So I began to abuse alcohol at a very young age. I became a perfectionist and a very controlling person. I developed a tendency to condemn others, a quality that I have heard described as a spirit of condemnation. The truth is that these experiences early in my life left me emotionally and psychologically damaged. All of these years, I have wept bitterly and deeply, most of the time in my bedroom behind closed doors. I have always wondered, where is this hurt coming from? Why is it so intense? When is it ever going to subside? When I married and became a mother of a little boy, the aftermath of my childhood traumas was directed at my own son. I had a bad temper, a tendency to holler at this innocent little child. I spanked him too hard and too often. No one explained any of that to me, but it didn't seem to make sense to me why I was the way I was. Fortunately, our people have begun to break the code of silence, and the answers finally started to come when I listened to people at conferences relate their life experiences and explain how the circumstances of their upbringing had impacted their well-being later on in life. One person in particular made a statement that put me on the right path. He said, "In order to heal, you need to share your pain. In order to share your pain, you need to name it." In saying what it is accurately and in all truthfulness, you can deal with it. This process began for me in 1990. My healing journey. My journey began as a quest for learning. My heart opened to the idea that maybe I could bring to understand why I had turned out the way I did, and maybe I could find the source of my deep pain and emptiness. I prepare myself to face the truth, because the way I felt inside at the age of 36 was not the way I wanted to feel for the rest of my life. I began to search for the reasons why I was ailing in the depths of my soul. I read all I could about grief, trauma, and the acculturation of our people. I attended numerous workshops on alcohol and the family. As I gained a cognitive understanding of the efforts of alcoholism and other trauma on a person's well-being, I was being prepared for the next step. Slowly at first, I turned my gaze inward to look at what was there, one layer at a time. At first, the way was dark and unknown, but I was determined to walk into that dark void and confront my deeply injured spirit, for which had begun grieving for so long. Stronger than my fear was a yearning in my heart to be made whole again. The process began when painful feelings started to rise to the surface, layer by layer. Each layer brought with it an intense grieving over the loss of childhood. For a while, the pain would subside, and then when I was prepared and strong enough to face the next layer, the process would begin again. It seemed like it would never end. About a year ago, I arrived at a place within myself where my pain was most severe. At the core of my pain, or the deepest area of my wounds that had gone on untreated for 40 years. This was the hardest part of my journey because the wounds were very sensitive and hard to treat. The more I tried to allow the pain to surface, the harder it seemed to resist coming out. I sensed that in order to deal with the deepest core of my hurting, injured spirit, I would need to make some choices. Walking this roughest road on my journey would be a hard fight. A battle would have to rage for me to win back the peace I had been hungering for. So I left my job of 11 years and disassociated myself from everything. I look back at some of my earliest memories and face the deep, deep hurt and trauma they held. The source of the trauma seemed deeper than my own childhood experiences. I saw for the first time that I carried within my spirit the suffering of our people. That was the deepest area of my pain, as if I inherited the pain of generations that came before me, like a hereditary illness that will be transmitted to each successive generation as long as we silently bear it within us. The grieving I experienced was intense, consuming, and excruciating. After everyone had left in the morning, I would lie in bed pleading with the Creator to carry me through this awful time. Over a period of 5 or 6 weeks, as rage and intense grief surfaced, I screamed and wept. I felt out of control. The rage seemed to have a life of its own. A couple of times, I seemed to begin to unravel, and I felt like I was wavering on the edge of madness. It made me physically ill, and when I was released, the worst of it had come out. Climbing down into a deep hole made me face a fear of the unknown. I felt isolated, entirely alone, faced with intense loneliness. I felt I had to befriend it, so loneliness became my companion. However, when I climbed down into that valley, my instincts told me that I had to make sure there is a way to climb back out. I knew I needed some lifelines. A couple of weeks ago, as I stood on a gnome beach watching a raging storm at sea, I thought about the lifelines that were there for me in the stormiest times of my journey. Their presence had confirmed for me there's an existence of a heavenly Father. Among my lifelines were three people, one of whom was there day and night to offer me the talking cure. I talked, and this person listened. I wrote letters to another person sharing what I was going through, and I received answers that encouraged me. The third person called on me every few months. The phone calls and the visits came when I really needed a friend. Another lifeline for me was walking. I walked and walked along the beach to clear my head, cleanse my spirit, and sort out my thoughts. During these times, I constantly reassured myself that I was going to get through this. Another lifeline has been sobriety. Since my son was a small child, I have chosen a life free of alcohol and drugs. Although it has been a rough road, I saw early on that I would not want to embark on this journey if mind-altering chemicals were in control of my mind, body, and spirit. The most important lifeline has been the Creator, my protector, who first took me by the hand and said, "I am going to lead you to the corner of your heart that is broken. I will give you the strength to face it, and I will be there for you every step of the way as you heal your broken heart. When you suffer, I will meet you with a suffering love, because I too am acquainted with suffering. Maybe it's time to laugh again. The injury has been tended to. I'm now trying to get well. Around the end of September, I recall driving home, feeling very weary inside. I prayed for help, asking that I be guided to the next phase of my journey and that I be given hope that I would begin to experience the joy of living. I ask for a sign, something to help me. Then I remember a notice in my mailbox to pick up a parcel at the post office window. So I return to the post office, open the parcel, and found a book entitled, Maybe It's Time to Laugh Again. As I let go of the trauma from which I have been ailing all of my life, I am able to experience some moments of joy. They are coming in little doses, but my heart is open to receiving them. I can look at the waves breaking on our beaches, and I can live in that moment, enjoying the beauty around me. I'm experiencing more and more moments of peace, even though the tears are still flowing. The part of mending has been to rebuild my emotional foundation. I have had to relearn how to feel normal emotions, especially those which were not allowed to express in an alcoholic family system, such as frustration, anger, and outrage. It was helpful that someone said to me, Mary, it's very normal to feel frustrated in certain situations. The frustration doesn't necessarily come from ailing inside. It can be a normal reaction in a frustrating situation. When something happened to trigger the normal emotion of anger, I had to relearn to trust myself to express that anger in an appropriate way to the right people. This comes with building trust and self-confidence within yourself. While the rage is an emotion that is self-destructive, outrage is anger that results from an injury or injustice. It is a good emotion and a healthy response to injustice. I needed to validate outrage as a normal, healthy human emotion. Rebuilding relationships. Another important part of rebuilding has been to put in place appropriate boundaries and standards by which I live. One of the boundaries was to lay a total claim to my need for healing, since I have learned how trauma devastates the human spirit. I have strived to get well without heaping my issues on other people, especially my children. My son sometimes has asked me what was going on inside of me, and I have reassured him by saying, it's me, not you. Try not to feel too bad when you see me ailing. It's not because of you. You do not have to bear my burdens for me. Just try to accept the fact that I'm trying to get well and that right now I'm not well. Please be patient. When you are struggling through an intense psychological and emotional experience, Most of those around you either haven't a clue to what you're going through, or they would rather keep clear of you because your struggle is more than they can handle. While that is understandable, there were times I desperately needed someone to reassure me that I was going to be all right. If we can release the rage within us, we can make room for a teachable spirit. We can relearn how to nurture understanding, how to extend care and compassion to one another. If we can get that far, we can have intimacy. What I mean by intimacy is the ability of one human being to relate to another human being genuinely in an authentic, trusting way without pretense or posturing. If we can cultivate intimacy, we can break the cycle of despair that has plagued us for generations. With intimacy, my path and your path can be brought back together. We can travel the same road as allies, trying to reach understanding and to work towards a common good. Native people must find that the language to define and express our experiences of trauma, a language we can understand and identify with. We're fully aware of the symptoms of our trauma, such as alcohol and drug abuse, violence, and other forms of self-destruction. We need to dig deeper to find that core injury and then face it, name it, deal with it. I am confident that we can. I believe in the spirit of the time. We've come to a place in our history where we need to heal. We cannot run from who we are. We cannot run from where we've been. We must give word to our experience, and we must resolve our pain. You see, the trauma of the alcoholism is only part of our recent history. Healing opens our eyes and hearts to see that our history once included ancestors who were vibrant, joyful, singing, laughing people. I look forward to nurturing within me and amongst us as a spirit of laughter and a joyful attitude. No doubt more tough times are ahead. We need to be equipped for them by bringing balance back into our lives. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. We can strive to balance the hard side of life with a bright glow of laughter. I am ready to experience this gentle side of living. What I am sharing with you is a matter of the heart. I have not discussed in detail other levels of my experience, such as how my trauma has impacted my relationships with my family members and members of my community. Part of the reality of recuperating is that many of those around you have not yet begun the journey of healing. We also need to prepare ourselves to deal with them. Another level of relationships that make our journey more complex is the coexistence of two or more cultures in the same community or area. In our case, one is a controlling culture, and the other is an indigenous culture that has been impacted deeply. We need to improve understanding amongst our different cultures. Tomorrow offers hope. For those of you who are going through a hard time, I want to reassure you that you can get through it. Even if you fear the pain, try to face it, because doing so may help you get back your life. Grieving is a natural process to restoring wholeness. If you trust at least one person, reach out to him or her. It's okay to need help and to ask for it. The decision to step onto a healing path is an individual, personal choice, but we're not meant to walk alone. Along the way, there are those good-hearted helping people who can catch you when you almost stumble, or hold on to you when exhaustion makes you unable to stand. Open up a little bit at a time to say how you feel. We can bear witness to each other's hardships and struggles. I want to leave you with this thought. On the other side of your pain, on the other side of your grief, on the other side of your rage, on the other side of your exhaustion, there is a fresh, new, bright tomorrow. I suggest that the hope in tomorrow is a source of real peace. I want to experience that peace. I would like to give that peace to my children as a gift of my getting well, and to see it spread from family to family and community to community, until at last all corners of our homeland are covered with this peace and intimacy, for which I suspect that consciously or unconsciously we have been hungering for a long time. In closing, I express my gratitude to the great physician who has looked after me faithfully throughout my life. I give back to him all that I have spoken and humbly offer him all honor and glory and praise. So I want to thank my friend, Mr. Miller, for allowing me to read this message, not just because it's a message that comes from a renowned person that gave so much to our community, but I can also relate to this message because I too found my path of being on my walk of sobriety at the age of 36. And it is tough. But when you find the right people, the right lifelines, as mentioned in the article, it's helpful, it's healing, it feels good to release yourself and not carry so much weight on your shoulders. So if you're that person that wants, you know, to start a path of a healing, trusting journey, we do have lifelines available here in Nome. I work at Behavioral Health. I work as a Native Connections Project Director and work with youth ages 14 through 24 for suicide prevention and alcohol abuse, misuse prevention programs. So any youth that are within our age range of 14 through 24, not just in Nome, but our region, if you're yearning for something that you want in your community, let us know. Let us know by contacting your village-based counselors. If you're not comfortable there, I am available in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And my contact phone number is 907-443-3344. That's Behavioral Health. If you're wanting to talk to urgent care team, we have a contact number Monday through Friday, 443-3344. And on the weekends or after hours, you can call and ask for the behavioral health clinician on call, which is 907-443-3200. And if it's an emergency, you may call 911.
Thank you to everyone who made this feature possible. Finding the Path to Healing, Overcoming Childhood Trauma was written by Mary Miller, voiced by Sherry Anderson, and adapted for radio by Karen Trope. Permission to air Miller's keynote address was graciously offered by Andy Miller. Audio used in this presentation was performed by Steve Barta, Richard Carr, Lauren Gold, Bill Merck, the Marquee Ensemble, Northern Voices, Ira Steen, Bumua, Danny Wright, and George Winston. If you are struggling with any of the issues discussed in this presentation, please contact Behavioral Health Services at 443-3344. Or for emergencies after hours or on weekends, call the Norton Sound Health Corporation Acute Care Line at 443-3200.